today the words of the Apostle John in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 14, in which he makes the following amazing statement. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Beloved congregation of the Lord, there are some things that you'll never understand unless you experience them. I can tell you one. I'm doing it right now. When I was a young person, I used to go to church and hear sermons, and I imagined what it would be like to preach the gospel to other people. But I can certainly tell you that I didn't know the half of it. I certainly didn't know what it was like to experience, in a very mysterious way, the sense of the presence of the Spirit of God in the joy of proclaiming the gospel. There are no doubt many things in your own life that you imagined as a child that you could understand, and now that you have grown up and you've experienced them, you realize that there is a total difference between what you thought they were and what they really are. And it is very much the same when it comes to eternal life. I don't know what your idea of eternal life is, but I can tell you what mine used to be. When I was a young fellow and went to church and listened to sermons, I always thought that eternal life was something that started when you died, if you were one of the lucky ones, and went to heaven. And so you would live your life, and everybody on earth was, in my judgment and in my opinion, equally alive. And everybody had to face that moment of death, and then when people died, well then, some of them were unfortunate enough that they were sent to a place called hell, and other people were fortunate enough that they were sent to a place called heaven, and that's where eternal life began. But you know, that's not what the Bible says. No, it's an amazing thing, but the Bible talks about eternal life as a present reality. John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, now, let's think then for a little while today about the great transition. And I hope that every one of you here today will be asking yourself in all seriousness the question, have I made the great transition? Am I one who has experienced what it means to pass from death unto life? Now, we all tend to think of death as something that comes at the end of the line. What we need, then, is to begin to think in a biblical way. And what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that when God created man, he made man in his own image, and he took the dust of the earth, and he breathed into it the breath of his own nostrils, the spirit, the ruach of his own nostrils, and man became a living soul. And so when God created man, and when God created Eve out of the rib of man and put them in the garden of paradise, the Bible is very clear in saying that they had life. They were alive. And they walked in fellowship with God. And then the Lord God came and he said one day to Adam, now you see that tree there in the midst of the garden? Well, in the day that you eat of that tree, on that day, and now I give you a literal translation of the Hebrew, dying you will die. In the day that you eat thereof, dying you will die. Well, now, from the time that I was a little child, I heard all kinds of explanations of that text. And I heard it explained that God interposed and delayed the sentence that he had promised. God had said, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. But God didn't do that. I've heard that said. But God decided that he would delay the punishment of death, and so death was delayed in the case of Adam for over 900 years. And then finally, God allowed this sentence of death to be executed in the case of Adam. But that's not what the Bible says. If God says, in the day that you eat of the tree which I have forbidden, then you're going to begin dying. Dying you shall die. Then there's not any doubt in this world that that's what's going to happen. And as a matter of fact, that's what the Bible teaches. On the day that Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, death began to set in to his nature. And death was that which permeated the whole existence of Adam from that day forward. There was a sense of fear. That's part of death. There was a sense of shame. That's a part of death. He didn't want to be in the presence of God anymore. He was afraid of God when God came into the garden in the cool of the day. And that's a part of death. And he began to be at odds with his own wife. And that's a part of death. And all these things that you read about in the Genesis account, according to the Bible, they are death. Because the Bible says that we are by nature dead in trespasses and sin. When I was a young fellow, we had in Iowa a famous fair. They've even made a movie about the famous Iowa State Fair. And I remember every year, we didn't live too far from the Iowa State Fairgrounds, I couldn't wait to get over there and see the sideshows and the Ferris wheel and the roller coaster and a lot of these things. And I still remember that they always had on what they called the midway at the Iowa State Fair, they had a hall of mirrors, and you could pay 5 cents. It was actually 5 cents in those days, and you could go into that hall of mirrors and you could look at yourself in all kinds of weird distortions. You could stand in front of one mirror and it made you look so fat that you wouldn't believe it. And then you could go and stand in front of another one and it made you look so thin that you looked like Uncle Sam in some of the cartoons. And the idea was that you could go around and see all of these distortions. Well, you know, man is like that when it comes to the image of God. The image of God in which man was originally created is all distorted. And that's exactly what the Bible means when it says, dying, you will die. You'll begin to fall apart. One of the really remarkable things about modern art, as you noticed in this wonderful series of films that we saw from Dr. Schaefer, is the way in which modern art, because it has forgotten the true and living God and has rejected the light of His revelation, is no longer able to see man in his wholeness. Man is falling apart into fragments, and that's death, you see. It's a picture of death. So don't ever think that modern art is not an accurate picture. It's a frightfully accurate picture. That's the horrible thing about it. It shows man beginning to fall apart because, you see, the further man gets away from God, the more death has its grip upon him. And so when Adam sinned against God, he began to die. Dying, he began to die. And more, the power of death had its grip upon Adam. I am perfectly certain from the data of the Bible that if we could imagine Adam standing here today and we could be overhearing a newspaper interview and somebody from the New York Times or some such paper was standing interviewing Adam, they might find it a very interesting thing to ask him questions about living such a long life. And they might say to him, well, Adam, please tell us, what is it like? Must be really wonderful, must be tremendous to live 900 years. Now, the Bible says you've lived 900 years. Tell us, what's it really like, Adam, to live 900 years? You know what Adam would say? He said, you don't understand, because I haven't lived 900 years. I've died 900 years. You don't know what life is. You weren't in paradise, but I was. I was in paradise with God, and He came and walked and talked with me in the cool of the day, and there was no pain there, and there was no disease there, and there was no fear there. None of these things. Well, that was life. And I lost that
the day that I ate of the forbidden fruit. And I felt this great veil come between me and God.
And I was driven out of His presence, and I was driven out of paradise.
You call it 900 years of life, and I tell you, it's been 900 years of death. It's been one long journey into death.
And that's what the Bible means when it says, dying, you will die.
So today, if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're dying. You're already in the midst of death. The Bible says so. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And you're on a journey. You're not standing still. You're moving on a great escalator that takes you more and more fully down the inclined plane into death. And ultimately, you will know death in the terrible reality of its fullness.
Now, why does the Bible speak about the second death? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the present phase of death isn't the last one. You see, we are already by nature, if we are not in Jesus Christ, we're already by nature dying. That's a fact. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And then comes what we all know of as the first death. That is to say, physical death, when the soul and the body are severed one from the other, and we call that death. That's the thing that human beings generally mean when they say death. But the Bible says there's a second death. And you know what the second death is? That's when God takes this man who has gone on this journey into death without Christ and takes the whole man, body and soul, and casts him into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then the Bible says death will be complete and total, because man will be forever separated from the presence of God. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so when you give a really full analysis of death in the Bible, you find that the essence of death is one very simple thing. It's separation from God. That's what death is. And the more fully separated you are from God, the more fully you experience death. Until that awful day when you're cast into outer darkness. Just imagine what it would be like to live in some part of this planet where you never could see the sun. Never. You read about people who are sometimes put in a dark dungeon for 10 years. Imagine such a horrible thing. Well, that's just a faint image of what it will be like for a human being who is cast forever completely away from the comforting presence of God. You see, man was made as the image of God, and he can't live without that relationship to God which gives life to the image. And so when man is separated from God, and more separated from God, he goes more and more completely into death. Until at last, that death becomes complete. Well, now John here is saying, that's what I was once too. We know that we have passed out of death unto life. And so everyone who's here today as a genuine Christian, he will say, right away, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was dead in trespasses and sins. The pall of death hung over my existence because I had no living relationship to the true and living God. I didn't know I was dead, but I do now. That's the tragedy. People don't know they're dead. The natural man doesn't realize that he's dead, but he is. But the Christian realizes it because he has passed out of death into life. Well, now John says he has made this transition. And he classifies with himself all those who really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it then to really be alive? What does it really mean to pass from death unto life? Well, you know, the Bible speaks of a first and a second resurrection. Why does the Bible speak of a first
and a second resurrection.
Why does the Bible say, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection? Well, I can tell you why. It is because on him, the second death has no power. Now, you can't say the first death has no power on him, because to start with, he's dead in trespasses and sins. But the second death has no power upon him, because he has part in the first resurrection. Well, you see, when God took man, he took the dust of the earth and he breathed into him the breath of life. So there is in man, as you can plainly see, a composite nature. There is a dual aspect to man's existence. There is a physical aspect and there is a spiritual aspect. That's why Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes says that when man dies, the dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And because there are these two aspects of man, there are also two resurrections. And the first resurrection is a resurrection of the spiritual aspect of man. Now, that's quite clearly stated in the passage in John, which I read for you a moment ago. The hour is coming, and now is. It's already here, says Jesus. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who live shall hear. I'm always praying when I get into this pulpit that somebody listening to my voice will this day experience the first resurrection, just like I did once when I was about 21 years of age. I've been sitting there in the pew just like you, year after year. And the word of God went in one ear and out the other, because I was dead in trespasses and sins. And then one day the word of God went in my ear and into my heart, because the Holy Spirit that day in his sovereign will was pleased to raise me from the dead. That was the day in which, as far as my spirit is concerned, my spiritual nature, I passed from death unto life. That was the day in which I was transformed by the renewing of my mind. That was the day in which I became, to use biblical terminology, a new creature. And old things passed away and everything became new. That one day, in the twinkling of an eye, I passed from death unto life. And because that happened to me, the Bible says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. On him the second death has no power. Now, the first death does. I think that's why Paul says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Notice he doesn't say the spirit or the soul. He says the body. And I believe he means the physical body, because this physical body of mine is still in the will and purpose and providence of God under the power of death. That's why I get a bad cold, just like an unbeliever does. I'm just as vulnerable to the viruses as you are, even if you're dead in sin. The diseases of the world are no respecter of persons, and being a Christian doesn't prevent you from getting a disease, even a fatal disease, because the body, the physical aspect of man, remains under the power and dominion of death. That's because it is appointed unto men, as far as the body is concerned, once to die. But the second death, it has no power. And even death itself, the thing that the man in the world, the natural man, fears, has no sting. How can death sting me if my spirit, my soul, has already passed from death unto life? Tell me how that can possibly affect my spirit. Paul says to depart and to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, he says it's far better. He wasn't afraid of death as far as anything it would do to touch his spirit or soul. And the reason is because he'd already had the first resurrection. So today, if you're a Christian believer, your spirit, your heart, your soul, The spiritual aspect of your nature has already passed from death unto life, and it is forever immune to death.
There's no sting in death. Nothing for you to fear as far as the spirit or the soul is concerned. Now, you may have to have pain physically.
Death may be difficult physically. Nothing that death can do to touch you spiritually. For nothing shall separate us, as far as the spirit is concerned, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can ever separate me from Jesus Christ, into whom I have been engrafted by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so, beloved, just as the journey of the unbeliever is a long journey into death, so the journey of the Christian is a long journey into life. The path of the just is like the shining light, says the book of Proverbs, which shines more and more even unto a perfect day. I already have life. I already have the beginning of joy, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it. But I'm going to have more. Life in its absolute fullness when I experience the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of the body from the grave. So we have the intermediate state, so beautifully summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, which says the souls of believers are at their death. Immediately they pass into glory, while their bodies, even their bodies, being still united to Christ, rest in their graves till the resurrection. You see, it's a journey into life, more and more life, until death is entirely swallowed up with victory at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when even this mortal, this body of death, puts on immortality, and this corruption puts on incorruption. Well, that's a glorious thing. And if you've passed from death unto life, you ought today just to be so thankful. Because nothing's ever going to separate you from Jesus Christ. And the thing that the ungodly man fears, you might fear it a bit too, but when it comes, it's going to prove to be more life. You're going to have more life then than you do now. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. The spirits of just men are made perfect. We come to the New Jerusalem, the church of the living God, the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's better than what we see now. But even that will pale into insignificance when the great finale comes and the second resurrection. Well, now I hope you have this. And I hope you can say with John, I agree, John, we have passed out of death unto life. We are already out of the sphere of Satan and darkness and death and separation from God. And because we are reconciled to God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the sphere of life. And it's going to be more and more, even unto the perfect day. Well, you may be saying to me, very good, but how do I know that I have passed from death unto life? Is this some emotional feeling that I just have within myself and I can say, well, I feel good, therefore I know that this is my possession? Or is it something I can look back on and say, well, when I was 28 years of old, I had a great experience and I can bank on that experience and I can always point back to that experience, or something like that? No, beloved, the Bible never deals with this problem that way. It never says that. What it says is we know that we have passed out of death into life because we are loving the brethren. And that means right now. Something you're doing right now, it's a reality right now, and it's a progressive and constant reality right now in your heart and life. That is the acid test of your being one who has passed from death unto life. Now let me be blunt. There are some people who go to church as a kind of spiritual insurance. They know enough about the Bible to be afraid that maybe it's true. And so one day they'll meet their God. And so they want to hedge their bets, as it were, and they want to have some kind of protection on that great day, so that if it does turn out that there is a God and there's a day of judgment and there's a hell as well as a heaven, they want to be able to say, well, I believed in Jesus and I attended his church, so that on that day he can interpose and they can have eternal life. So they come to church just enough to remain in good standing. But the real center of the gravity of their hearts and lives is not in the church of God at all. That's not where they find their friends, and that's not where they find their fellowship and communion. And I'm sorry to tell you, it won't work. No, the man who is going to really have life on that day in its fullness is the man who can say, we know that we already have passed out of death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren in this congregation? That's where it starts. You're supposed to love the whole family of God, but you're supposed to start where you are, by loving that part of the family of God where he's placed you. And if you can't love the sin-deformed, crooked, imperfect children of God in this congregation, then you don't qualify in terms of 1 John 3:14. John says, we know that we have passed out of death unto life because we do love the brethren. And I thank God that I can say I know what this is all about, because there was a time when I too attended church as a kind of spiritual insurance policy. But I didn't love the people of God, and that's not where my fellowship was. That's not where my heart was. But after I passed from death unto life, strangely enough, I began to love those squares that I once ridiculed. And I began to love the fellowship of the people of God. And I'd rather be with them 100 times than the people of this world, and I'm still that way. Well, I see their faults, but I love the people of God. And so I thank God that I can look at this text and I can say, amen, John, I know exactly how you feel. And here's the great acid test for you too. Where there is a real love for the people of God in your heart, then there is evidence that you've passed from death unto life. And where there is not this genuine love, then there is evidence that you have not passed from death unto life. So let me ask you the question. And may you search your heart. Have you passed from death unto life? Now you're either one or the other. As you sit here today, you're either over there in the realm of death, or you're over there in the realm of life. Now, which is it? Don't be so foolish as to ignore a tremendous question like that. No greater disaster could befall you than to make light of a question like that. Don't you want to be the possession of Jesus Christ? Don't you want to be with him forever? Well, then the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, notice, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he will have compassion on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And you know what the Bible says about the man who will do that? Who won't laugh and ridicule, but will do that? Well, it says he will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth in shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field
will clap their hands.
Does that sound like an exaggeration?
I still remember the day that I went to tell my pastor that I had passed from death unto life. And as we sat down in his study and looked out the window, do you know that I actually felt that the sky and the trees and the hills were singing? That may sound ridiculous to you, but that's how I felt that day. Why, it was as though the whole world of nature was glowing with gladness that day that I passed from death unto life. And as the prophet says, that day will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off. Oh, may God enable you to also say, I know that I have passed out of death into life because I love my brothers. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for what you teach us in your wonderful word. We thank you even more for the great work of your salvation, which you offer to us in your gospel, which we can experience by your grace. Grant that everyone here today may be such as tastes of this, the greatest of all gifts, to be alive from the dead through Jesus Christ, even throughout eternal ages. This we ask in his dear name. Amen.